98.3 FM WCQM, Park Falls, a Civic Media station. This is 98Q Country.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Right now, six states are reporting more than 10,000 power outages. The most are in Michigan and Wisconsin. Each have more than 170,000 outages. It's a result of a winter storm that snarled travel Friday for large parts of the country. It's also freezing the Republican primary field ahead of Monday's caucuses in Iowa. Former President Trump's canceled most of his in-person events in the state this weekend, but he promises to get there by tonight.
It's going to be a little bit of a trek. Nobody knows how exactly we're going to get there, but we're going to figure it out.
President Biden was in Pennsylvania Friday. He said he continues to have confidence in his defense secretary, Lloyd Austin, despite Austin not informing the White House when he was hospitalized. The U.S. launched another strike on Houthi targets in Yemen following strikes that hit more than 60 targets Thursday. And the polls are closed in Taiwan. There could be significant ramifications for the election results as the frontrunner has been called a troublemaker by Beijing. This is ABC News. The FAA is going to audit Boeing and another company's manufacturing process after the mid-air incident last week on a 737 MAX 9 when part of the fuselage blew out.
Boeing saying it welcomes the FAA's increased oversight and will cooperate fully and transparently with the agency. Spirit AeroSystems, which made the door plug which blew out of an Alaska Airlines 737 MAX 9 in flight, saying it's committed to supporting the FAA's audit of production and manufacturing. The FAA also to take a look at a program that leaves certain parts of the aircraft certification up to the manufacturer itself. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The University of Alabama's found its replacement for legendary football coach Nick Saban, who announced his retirement. Alabama's hiring Kalen DeBoer from the University of Washington. DeBoer just led the Huskies to the national championship game. That's something Saban did nine times with the Crimson Tide, where he won six national titles as coach. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Studies show more than half of the U.S. Latino population lives in states with the highest impacts of climate change. A new report outlines how that's challenging their health, their livelihoods, and their cultural legacy. Here's Mike Moe.
The report from the Hispanic Access Foundation details those impacts. Conservation Program Manager Vanessa Munoz says Latinos in every state are experiencing challenges to their mental health and identity due to climate change.
Some places might suffer severe temperatures and others might be more exposed to flooding or to a lot of wildfires, which is often where a lot of the Latino communities reside.
In Wisconsin, the DNR says communities of color often bear the brunt of air pollution and extreme weather events fueled by climate change. State health officials say Latinos are the fastest growing racial and ethnic population in Wisconsin. According to the Pew Research Center, 71% of Latino adults around the country say climate change already affects their local community. To promote what she calls a just transition towards a climate-friendly economy for all people, Munoz says the report includes a toolkit and policy recommendations to help communities better preserve their Latino heritage.
One of the ways it's joining groups and forces to really protect our lands and prevent that from expanding, to prevent further loss and damage, which is necessary in these times of climate change.
Latinos are projected to make up 30% of the U.S. population by 2050, and over half reside in states with the highest levels of climate change threats. The Hispanic Access Foundation released its cultural erosion report at the recent COP28 conference in Dubai. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
WCQM, joining us Monday through Friday from 2 to 7, it's Gray Gunderson.
Here on 98Q Country, your home of today's favorites and yesterday's classics, and of me. I'm Gray Gunderson, here to take you through the top of the 7 o'clock hour today. I'll be with you all the way through. No annoying basketball game scheduled in the middle of my shift. No, I love when the Bucks play here live on 98Q Country. One of my favorite things to broadcast.
Be sure to tune in.
Packers' Keyshawn Nixon named to the All-Pro team. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers defensive back Keyshawn Nixon is in his second year of returning kickoffs and once again has been named to the AP's All-Pro first team. Matt LaFleur.
What an honor for everybody, because he can't do that alone. There's a lot of guys that are, you know, blocking for him, doing what they do, and so it's a credit to that whole unit, and certainly he's an incredible talent.
Keyshawn Nixon asked, what does it mean to be named the best kickoff returner in the league for a second consecutive year?
I think it's big for me and my accomplishment, but it's kudos to everybody. It always starts with the return unit, but for me, my accomplishments, they tell me some stat like the only people that ever go back-to-back was like Devin Hester and Cordell Patterson, so that's a hell of a group to be with.
The Packers take on the Cowboys in Dallas in the wild card playoffs Sunday. Has he ever returned one at AT&T Stadium?
I've never played in Dallas. It's going to be brand new for me.
That's the Packers kick returner, Keyshawn Nixon. For sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This weather update is sponsored by Hansen HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Water.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Snow and wind for your Saturday. Gusts to 30 miles per hour out of the north. Temperatures falling throughout the day. For tonight, some light snow, a low of 4 below. Wind chills about 20 below. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and cold with highs in the single digits. Still breezy. Right now, it's 16.
From the Eau Claire Outdoor Studios. Presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're not just a radio show anymore.
This is Sporting Journal Radio.
That's right. Welcome to the show. My name is Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in on the network. By demand, SportingJournalRadio.com or watching this on YouTube. That's Dan Amundson next to me over there.
What's going on?
Susie scores. That's David Eckhart over there.
Whoa.
What's up, David?
That's so loud.
Did we give David any homework this week since he didn't?
Have we ever given him homework?
Probably no. Should. How much have you prepared for this week's show, David?
Very little.
Good. Perfect. Great. All right. We got a great show. The last couple of weeks have been very, very interesting for us here on the show. We really appreciate everybody that's tuned in, that's watched, that listened, even the ones that disagreed with us. We thank you very much. And
no.
We thank you for the comments as well. And please comment below on this week's show. We got to figure out, we got to announce a winner for last week, too. We'll do it in the comments here. But everybody who comments on this show will have a chance to win some gear. From the Sporting Journal Radio. Wait a minute.
You agreed to it. I heard it. I heard it. I think there's a
cars.
Toyota Tundra giving away.
There's a new Toyota Tundra, but I'm the one driving it. You can ride with me sometimes, but I'm keeping it. But you might get a cool hoodie like this, or maybe a coffee mug, or a tumbler, or a hat, T-shirt, and more. Check it all out. I actually added a bunch of dog stuff. I wanted to try out some of the dog stuff. So I got a new dog bowl on there, dog bed, some dog, food mats that you put under, their food and water dishes.
When you say you're going to try them out, you're going to sleep on them and drink out of them?
Yeah. Or? Well, I figure if it's good, if it's good enough for my dog, it's good enough for me. So
you're not the one actually going to drink out of the bowl.
No, but I'll try and make sure it's good enough for Tiny Mika. And if it is, if it passes my rigorous testing... then I'll give it to the dogs. No, we got some really cool new stuff there. Check it out. Actually, some new hoodies. What else did we get, Dan? Some quarter zip stuff.
Sun shirts, right?
Yeah.
We got some sun shirts on the way. So we've had requests for this, and I've requested them. Fishing shirts with hoods, SPF protection. And now we've got some we're going to test out and hopefully be able to sell to you guys with the Fish Hunt Forever logo on them. Or if you want Sporting Journal What's this show called?
Words are tough.
Yeah, Sporting Journal Radio. That one. If you want that logo, I'm sure you can do that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hopefully I just gave you more work.
I'm going to go design. You're welcome. SportingJournalRadio.com. Fish Hunt Forever. I fish, I hunt, and always will. And what that means is we're going to do what we can to protect this lifestyle that we love, hunting and fishing and being in the outdoors as often as possible. So... sometimes we disagree with some things that are going on. Sometimes we agree with it. We try to call it as we see it and make sure that we are trying to further the discussion to make sure that we are doing the right things moving forward as outdoors people and making sure that our elected officials who might make a law are also aware of our intentions as well, too. So we do what we can to try to make sure that you can do what you want to do. And we've been talking about barotrauma the last couple of weeks on this show. We're going to continue the discussion. So it all came from a DNR research study that Angling Buzz filmed. They put the video out. Aaron Weeb from Uncut Angling responded. We had Jeremy Smith from Angling Buzz respond to that. Aaron wanted to respond to that. The only people we hadn't had on yet was the DNR. So this week, we have the DNR side of the story. Dave Weitzel is going to be joining us. And then we also have Jeff Sundin, who's been a part of some of the citizen panfish work that's been done here in the state of Minnesota. He's also a fishing guide. They're both up in the Grand Rapids area. They're going to be joining us in a little bit. Joe Henry will be back to talk about Lake of the Woods. And Lucas Mertens from Devil's Lake, from Haybale Heights Campground Resort on Devil's Lake, is going to be joining us from the Snow Bear, from his Snow Bear on Devil's Lake, with a report from up there as well. Dan, who are the sponsors this week on the show?
Lake of the Woods Tourism. Lake of the Woods is the walleye capital of the world. Plan an ice fishing trip this winter at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Book a trip to Devil's Lake this winter. Learn more at haybaleheights.com. Ottertail Lakes Country. Find your inner otter at ottertaillakescountry.com. And Prairie Sportsman. The new season starts in January. Watch episodes anytime, though, at the Prairie Sportsman YouTube channel.
Going to be at the Deer Classic. We'll talk more about the Deer Classic and deer hunting with David here in just a little bit. But we should mention some news about Red Lake this week, Dan.
Yeah, you can land an airplane again.
Okay, good.
The vehicle restrictions have been lifted, so people can bring their ATVs, side-by-sides, et cetera, out of public launches. It was restricted just to resorts bringing people out, but now the public can do it again. The ice appears to have firmed up enough. Again, never assume any ice is safe ice, but you're free to go again. Follow your resort's guidelines. I know some people are letting ATVs and single axles out, so stuff's happening, and it's going to get real cold, so
yeah,
more stuff's going to happen.
Like highs below zero this weekend.
Yeah.
Gross.
Fahrenheit.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, we need it to build some ice. We probably could have done without the snow that we got this week, but we didn't get a ton of snow.
It was a light snow. It'll blow off. We'll be fine.
Yeah, no, they call for 5 to 7. I'd say we got about 6 inches here, I think, on Monday? Tuesday? I don't remember what day it was. And another inch on Wednesday or Thursday or something?
It's still light, though. It'll blow. At least out where we are in the state with not a lot of trees.
The prairie.
It'll blow.
Yeah.
Button mark.
It's like we're the Dakotas. You know, people joke about North. When I lived in Fargo, man, it was brutal some days when the wind would blow. And I moved here to Minnesota. It's the same.
Yeah.
Western Minnesota. Pretty much the exact same.
David's getting a phone call.
Nope.
No, that was me.
Oh, Brett's gets answered on air.
No.
Yes. Answer.
Definitely not a real person.
Oh.
On that one. So. All right, we got a couple other things that we want to hit on. We're going to take a quick break. Before we do that, though, we should probably go up and check in with Lucas Mertens, maybe?
Yeah, let's see if he catches a fish out of the Snow Bear.
Lucas, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm not as good as you because I'm stuck inside and you're fishing.
Well, I'm inside. I'm just inside one of our Snow Bears, so.
That's pretty cool. You know, those Snow Bears, first time I was ever in one was at your place up there. That's a pretty slick way to go. Pretty comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. You know, when you come up here and you get a Snow Bear trip, I mean, you're going to pretty much eliminate the weather factor is the advantage that we have. We've had a pretty nice mild winter, but as we all know, there's a big Arctic cold blast coming down, and we're going to be 21 to 25 below zero. And as you can see, I'm sitting in a sweatshirt and t-shirt, or a sweatshirt and tennis shoes. That's the nice thing about the Snow Bears. It just lets you go out and enjoy your day no matter how cold it is out there.
Walleye fishing's been pretty good?
Yeah. Walleye fishing's been pretty standard, you know, looking for some structure, you know, and that anywhere from 6 feet up to 20 foot where we've been hitting some walleyes. Buckshots and just any minnowheads have been just the key, you know, for us. It's been just kind of standard Devil's Lake procedure.
If people want to book a trip with you, what should they do? What should they know? What do they need to know?
Sure. So we have a Facebook page, and I keep that fairly updated in the winter. I'm not going to put all the pictures on there, but I'm just going to tease you enough. So then go to our Facebook page. We have our website that has all our prices on it and different packages, or if they just want to call and chat with somebody, they can call me, and my phone number is 701-351-3130.
HeyBaleHeights.com, Lucas Mertens, good luck out there today, and thanks for being on the show this week.
Hey, thanks for having me.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HaybaleHeights.com to book your trip today.
Don't miss the 2024 Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, presented by select Heartland Chevy dealers at Canterbury Park in Shakopee, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. This year's Classic features top hunting celebrities like Pat Nicole Reeve of Driven TV, Melissa Bachman of Winchester Deadly Passion TV, and legendary bow hunter Barry Wenzel. Get your antlers scored, view more than 300 antler entries, and see the latest hunting products, plus a great lineup of lodges and outfitters. Learn more about the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th, 9th, and 10th at Canterbury Park in Shakopee at mndeerclassic.com.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in on the radio network by demand at sportingjournalradio.com or maybe watching this on YouTube. Please like it, subscribe to us, and share it, and comment below, and we will draw a winner from all the commenters, and they'll get some free gear from the Sporting Journal Radio store. Hey, what other website that you can subscribe to get some outdoor updates is the Outdoor Feed at theoutdoorfeed.org. It's through the organization Aglow. It's comprised of over 500 members of outdoor content creators, writers, brands, companies, tourism destinations. And every day we put up new news from the outdoors on that website right there. If you're watching this, you can see it, theoutdoorfeed.org. And one thing, like if you're in the outdoor industry, maybe you're a content creator, maybe you're a podcast host, whatever the case is, you should consider joining Aglow because it allows you to network with other industry professionals, learn from them, grow from them, and helps you get introduced to different sponsor opportunities, different brands. And we do these things called media camps. And this year we've got another media camp coming up in February at Lake of the Woods. We'll be at Riverbend Resort February 12th through the 15th. We're going to be doing some fishing. We're going to be learning more about the Lake of the Woods area. And all these writers and people are going to be filming and gathering content and then going back home and putting all that information out. So you're going to get to learn more about Lake of the Woods through them. And they're going to be going to there. Maybe they live out east. Maybe they live in Texas. Maybe they live somewhere else. That's the beauty of what these media camps do. So maybe you're a destination. You want to host one of these camps and get messaging about your location out to these different areas across the United States and Canada. And I think we only have people like in Australia or Norway or something too.
I have talked to, there's one person I know I talked to with an Australian accent at one Aglow conference. I think Canada's represented a little bit, but we could always use more Canadians. It's the more diverse the group is, the better. And I say that like if we get more anglers, more hunters, you know, you get a guy, you know, Frank Campbell's a perfect example for us. We met him and we went to New York to go fishing.
New York City.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like Buffalo and Niagara.
Right, but I never thought of going to New York to go fishing.
Right.
And now it's a destination I want to go back to again and again and again. And it really opens us all up to these opportunities. We can teach our audience, Minnesotans, Iowans, Dakotans, Wisconsinites, about going to, your wife wants to go to Niagara Falls for the honeymoon or something. That's not all a bad deal. Go fish.
Niagara River's amazing.
And eat the best pizza you've ever had.
Yeah, that's right. So find out more at theoutdoorfeed.org. You can sign up to get email updates while you're there. And it's usually a lot of those come from me. Just full disclosure. All right.
You just ruined the appeal.
That's one thing we're doing in February. And then in March, we'll be at the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic. That's back this year, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. And that's going to be at Canterbury Park in Shakopee. Really cool location. You know, when it was at the State Fairgrounds, it was kind of neat, but it was, you know, you had to go into St. Paul. Parking was a little weird. When it was up in Blaine, it was a little bit different. Man, Canterbury is just great. It's a big location. Parking is awesome. It's easy to get to. So we'll be there. I think I'm going to be out there on that Saturday and kind of bouncing around, making another film. Like if you go to mndeerclassic.com, you'll see a video I filmed while we were out there right on the homepage, and you can get a walkthrough of the event. I don't know if Dan's going to pull it up.
Oh, I can, yeah. I was making a funny that you just want to go bet on the ponies. That's why you really like it at Canterbury.
That's hilarious.
Thanks.
Nailed it, Dan.
Is that right?
I thought that was funny. You have a gambling problem was the joke.
Do I love to gamble.
You don't, but the listeners don't know that. Now they're all laughing, but instead of
at are me, they?
They're
are they?
They're laughing at me. So
dynamite delivery, Dan.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? I bet somebody in their car laughed their butt off.
Well.
And now they're just laughing at me because you two don't have the sense of humor to understand it.
Yeah, at least you can laugh at yourself, Dan.
Something like that.
I don't do that.
So, Deer Classic, while I'll be at the outdoor news booth for a couple of hours there, and then I'm going to be bouncing around. And then they want me to stop by the Awful Watching Program booth as well. And if you don't know about this, it's Awful, O-F-F-A-L. Oh, yeah, here's the walkthrough.
Sorry, it's a little late because I got a little delayed in being made fun of. Must like my jokes.
Yeah. So you can watch this walkthrough. Anywho. I think it might be on our Fish Hunt Forever YouTube channel as well, or Sporting Journal Radio. Anyway, if you go to mndeerclassic.com, you can watch it. And then the Awful Watching Program, it's about what's eating your deer's gut piles. So after you kill a deer, you gut it. What's eating that stuff? They just want to know. So they put cameras on them, which I've done. I've been part of this project now. And Dan, I sent you one video. We had a deer carcass.
Shoot, you're right.
That.
Hang on. Keep talking.
Okay. Sweet. Well, you just said hang on. So I was hanging on.
I'm hanging on. You keep talking.
Oh, keep talking.
You keep doing the
is
show.
Is that right? So it was a skunk eating on the deer car. And I just said the carcass. This wasn't necessarily gut pile. So coyotes joined in on the fun here. And the skunk didn't like that too much. So it was kind of like a battle between these skunks and the coyote. And if you look at that, the skunk kind of raises his backside, raises his tail. And you see the coyote whip his nose up in the air. But I've been down to that site, and there's no scent of a skunk anywhere. So I don't know if it was like a bluff charge type of situation. And the coyote was like, oh, no, we're good. We're good.
Yeah,
I don't smell anything. Don't get the tomato juice out. We're good. We're good.
I think that's actually a thing. Like, I was turkey hunting once and walked right up on a skunk, and the tail immediately went up, and I ran about as fast as I think I've ever run out of there, but it didn't spray. And so that might
posture.
Yeah.
They'll threaten you before they act.
It worked. I ran away very fast.
Well, it's funny. If you watch that video, and I've got more videos from that trail camera, the coyotes did not go in there until a while later, a couple of days later, and the skunk wasn't around, but a mink was around, and my camera died. I'm just so angry about it. The camera died, but there's a dead mink.
The mink is no longer around.
Yeah. The coyotes picked that thing clean because I had cameras all around leading up to this spot that had coyotes all over the camera, so I know coyotes went to that site, and I went down there. And there's just a dead mink laying there.
He passed.
Coyotes did some damage to a mink, which is crazy. So anyway, learn more about that program. There's a website out there. We'll be filming it for Prairie Sportsman. And I'll be at the booth at the Minnesota Deer Classic 8th, 9th, and 10th. And David, I know real quick, you've been working on food plots already?
Yeah. Season ended, and there was no snow. The ground was frozen. I needed to move a few trees to kind of open up a area, make it to where I could get a food plot planted in there, make a trail in and stuff. So I thought, hey, might as well do it now.
No such thing as an off season.
That's right. That's right.
The season's closed. So next best thing is to get ready for next year. And yeah, went and cleared out an area. I'm pretty excited about it.
So as soon as you're ready, you'll be able to start planting.
Yeah. Yep.
What are you going to plant in there?
I think I'm just going to do clover in that one. It's kind of a small little staging area before they head out into some big egg fields. So,
is there a canopy? Is it going to be a little bit harder to grow something different?
Yeah, it's still pretty wooded, but it's open enough. I mean, there's grass growing and stuff in there, so there's enough sunlight for some to grow something, and I wanted to plant something that's I maybe don't have to come back and plant every year. Little low maintenance.
That's so, the best.
Yeah. I think the angle I'm going to take on that one.
Isn't it funny? I said this last week too. Isn't it funny that when the hunting season ends, how productive a guy can be? Start getting projects done that have been on the list, or take advantage of no snow this year to get something done like that. All right. Well, we got a lot to get to this week. Dave Weitzel and Jeff Sundin coming up to continue the Barotrauma talk. We'll talk about that DNR study and get the DNR's perspective on the entire situation. And we got to talk to Joe Henry right now. Joe, how you doing?
You know what? Doing really good. You know, I'll tell you something. You know, the old saying is, you never know what you're going to catch on Lake of the Woods. And I'll tell you what, this last week or so, boy, I'll tell you what, is that holding true?
Oh, yeah. I know Dan told me about the first one. And then as I brought it up to him again, I think the next day, he's like, oh, and did you hear what else they caught? When you have a body of water that big and it's part of a river system, obviously fish are going to be moving in and out. And I've always been really excited about lake trout up on the Canadian side and obviously musky fishing up there too. But turns out you don't have to go to Canada to catch those fish, Joe.
No. Well, and you know, you're right. River system. And I would say that probably pertains as much to the lake sturgeon as anything. But then you got 14,552 islands. You got really deep water up in Canada. And in the winter, if we're going to catch a lake trout, as an example, on the south end of Lake of the Woods, it's in the winter. And the reason for that is the water temps, obviously, under the ice are fairly consistent. So that fish can be roaming around under the same temperature of water. So we get one every once in a while on the south shore of Lake of the Woods. The other one that was a big surprise is, I mean, Lake of the Woods is known as a musky fishery. But that's up by the northwest angle, up amongst the 14,000 islands. You know, not on the south shore. We don't get a lot of them in the south shore. But I'll tell you, this last week or so, a 10-year-old girl from Rice Lake, Wisconsin, pulled in a 50-plus inch muskie on a tip-up. And you take a look, if you're looking at this, you know, on your computer, your phone, or whatever, I'll tell you what, that muskie is huge. It is a freaking tank. Kind of fun, you know. Of course, we've been getting a lot of sturgeon. I've been getting some sturgeon photos coming in. You know, people ice fishing on the lake, actually. And of course, we obviously our bread and butters are walleyes and saugers and jumbo perch. People are catching eel pout and then the poor man's lobster, of course. And that's a little bit unique for some anglers. You can't catch them everywhere. And but I got to tell you, fishing's been really good. You know, as a whole, for a while there around the first of the year, we were kind of stuck at a certain depth, you know, and we were catching fish. But as time would go on, fishing was getting a little bit tougher, a little bit tougher, a little tougher. We'd be beating on those fish are moving, et cetera. Well, finally, we got some cold weather, and ice conditions were improving, so a lot of our resorts and outfitters to move their fish houses to some different territories, some different ice, and got a little bit deeper and such, and I tell you, those fish were there, they just slid out a little bit deeper, and it's been really good fishing so far. And I should say, too, same thing up at the northwest angle.
Joe, if people want to get a trip booked this winter to Lake of the Woods or start thinking about spring, too, what should they do?
You know, ice conditions are great. Fish are biting, and there's openings. There are openings right now. Check out our website, and that is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Don't miss the 2024 Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, presented by select Heartland Chevy dealers at Canterbury Park in Shakopee, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. This year's Classic features top hunting celebrities like Pat Nicole Reeve of Driven TV, Melissa Bachman of Winchester Deadly Passion TV, and legendary bow hunter Barry Wenzel. Get your antlers scored, view more than 300 antler entries, and see the latest hunting products, plus a great lineup of lodges and outfitters. Learn more about the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th, 9th, and 10th at Canterbury Park in Shakopee at mndeerclassic.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world, is calling out to you. From the northwest angle to the south shore and Rainy River, this is the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, northern pike, and eel pout. The fishing on Lake of the Woods is like a world of its own. Experience the most amazing fishing through one of the many full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper fish house options. For more information, go to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
As we roll into the new year, it's time to make sure your vehicle is road-ready for the conditions. That's where Goodyear comes in. Right now, you can get up to $100 back by online or mail-in rebate on a select set of Goodyear or Dunlop tires. Plus, you can get an added bonus of up to $100 when you use the Goodyear credit card. Ask an associate which Goodyear tire will keep you moving ahead this season. Offer valid until March 31st, 2024. The Goodyear credit card is subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. See store for details. Stop by D&D Tire and Auto Center today. You can find us on Highway 13 in Park Falls, Wisconsin, or at www.ddtireandauto.com.
Northwoods Community Credit Union is a financial institution that has been helping families since 1953, offering competitive loan rates, mobile banking, online bill pay, remote deposit, savings incentives for your children. The list goes on. Hi, I'm Sally. That is some serious trust you have put in the hands of our experienced financial team since 1953. Today, I invite you to stop in and inquire about our services and put your financial needs in the hands of a trusted financial institution. So tomorrow, you will be at ease knowing Northwoods Community Credit Union in Park Falls and Ashland has put you the member first. Membership required, insured by NCUA.
This just in, Panasia Oino Market in the Southside Shopping Center of Park Falls, Wisconsin is extending their holiday free gift card deal. Spend $50 or more today through January 15th and receive a $10 gift card for your next visit. Panasia is ringing in the new year with new items and new deals everywhere, from fresh fruits to lunch and meats, fish snacks, and more. Starting 2024 with a culinary adventure, with most items added on your suggestions. Open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 6, and welcoming EB and Food Share customers.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Did you hear? The Green Bay Packers are going to the playoffs. You helped cheer the green and gold into the postseason, and you can continue to catch every play and score throughout it right here on 98Q Country WCQM, 98.3 FM in Park Falls. What a team. Your local station for the playoffs with the Packers in Dallas against the Cowboys this Sunday at 3:30. Your hometown radio. Refresh.
This weather update is sponsored by Hanson HVAC Heating and Cooling, your local Armstrong Air dealer of Phillips and Manitouish Waters.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Snow and wind for your Saturday. Gusts to 30 miles per hour out of the north. Temperatures falling throughout the day. For tonight, some light snow, a low of 4 below, and wind chills about 20 below. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and cold with highs in the single digits. Still breezy. Right now, it's 16.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. Thanks for tuning in on the network. By demand, sportingjournalradio.com, or by downloading the podcast or watching this on YouTube. Thank you very much. Everyone that does watch this, comment below, like it, share it. Make sure you subscribe to our channel. Everyone who comments on this will win something from the Sporting Journal Radio store, where you can win maybe a pretty cool hoodie like this one right here, or hats, tumblers, mugs, things like that. Check it out at sportingjournalradio.com. Dan Amundson and David Eckhart with us. And right now we got two guests coming, both from Grand Rapids, as a matter of fact. We're going to talk fishing. We're going to continue the barrel trauma talk because we feel like it's a pretty important topic to discuss and get people talking about it, thinking about it, thinking about how their actions on the lake might affect, may or may not affect fish populations out there. And we just want to learn more and learn what might already be out there when it comes to the research and data regarding barrow trauma. So first we got Dave Weitzel. He's the assistant regional fisheries manager of the northern region. Did I get that right?
Yep, the northeast region.
Northeast. I knew it.
I was like, that word doesn't look right. I don't know why I can't read my own handwriting. That's terrible.
I know why.
Because my handwriting's garbage?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. In this day and age, I type more than I write. So when I do write something down, half the time I'm like, that's not spelled right.
no autocorrect.
Where's
on
the autocorrect
paper?
In this thing? It's broken.
Jeez. Whoops.
And that's Jeff Sundin joining us as well down there. Both of you guys up in that Grand Rapids area. Jeff, Dave, both of you guys, thanks for coming on the show this week.
Hey, thanks for having us.
I appreciate it. Dave, I want to start with you because we've had Angling Buzz on the show, and then we had Aaron Weeb on the show, and the one component of this overall topic that started, just kind of got this whole ball rolling when it comes to the barrel trauma talk as we are talking right now, is this video and some research being done by the Minnesota DNR, and that Angling Buzz went out and filmed to get the word out just a little bit. So I'm glad to have the DNR to kind of discuss a little bit. So thanks for coming on. Let's just kind of start at the beginning. This particular barotrauma study that's taking place, how did this come about?
Yeah, basically, for folks that have been kind of following some of our panfish management here in Minnesota, you've probably heard of the work that we've been doing the last few years with bluegill. So we had kind of this citizens advisory work group driven bluegill project that was kind of winding down. So as a group, we discussed with our stakeholders, work group members, and just other anglers, where do we go from here? And kind of the next thing that they wanted us to take a look at was crappie, because, when we look at angling across the state, walleye is still the most popular species, but bluegill and crappie are right up there with walleye. And, a lot of folks understand that our crappie populations get a heck of a lot of fishing pressure. So we wanted to kind of have that discussion and see, how does all this fishing pressure potentially impact our crappie populations? And are we managing the species in the right way? So when we started to look at crappie, what we came to quickly realize is from a biological standpoint, we actually don't understand them to the degree that we understood the bluegill. There's a lot of data gaps out there. These fish, unlike bluegill, which are fairly consistent, crappie react different in different environments. So like in my part of the state, what we see is that our crappie populations tend to be really cyclical. We might get a good year class once every 3 to 5 years, whereas maybe out in western Minnesota, they see good production every year. In some lakes, we see that our crappies are growing relatively fast. In other lakes, it might take 10 years even to grow a 9-inch fish. And then the lifespan's really different from one lake to another. Around here, it's pretty rare to see crappie living beyond 7 years, but there's other parts of the state where we see them living to be teenagers. So we really came to understand that if we're going to do a better job of focusing management on crappie, we need to understand more about where crappie management may work and what tools might be appropriate in different environments. And we knew that this barotrauma question was a big one, because we know that there's a lot of lakes out there that have deep water basins where anglers like to go and fish for crappie. Well, we kind of have to understand how that barotrauma may impact the fish to come up with better tools for crappie management. And then the other thing that our work group pointed out is that, they felt that maybe a lot of anglers really hadn't ever been exposed to barotrauma or didn't know what it was. So they were hoping we could use it to come up with some really good outreach material so that people would have the conversation and really think about how that deep water fishing might impact the population. From a personal standpoint, whether they want to focus more on harvest when they're fishing in deep water, avoid it altogether, or just be able to make a better informed decision when they're out there fishing deep water.
I joke a lot that the DNR has a pretty, so I want to state for the record that I criticize the DNR when I feel like the DNR needs to be criticized, but I also give credit when I feel like the DNR deserves to have some credit. I try to call it as I see it, and I will say that managing a state, the resources in a state like Minnesota is tough because
it's so diverse with the different biomes and the different landscapes and the different depths and water temperatures and things like that. You can't have a one size fits all management plan in this state. And this study came out from your anglers, so your citizen work group, right? I mean, and that you work with the DNR. I mean, this didn't come from the DNR. It came from the anglers, and then the DNR put the study together.
Yeah, that's correct. We have a citizens advisory work group that specifically talks about issues related to panfish. It's just one of many work groups that the DNR has. These work groups are purposely designed to include a diversity of viewpoints from the fishing community. So we have resort owners, we have fishing guides, we have just everyday anglers, we have lakeshore owners, we have folks that don't live on the lake. Trying to bring everybody together to identify, you know, what issues are they seeing with our panfish populations that maybe they'd like to see the DNR put more focus on. And this was one of those issues.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the study methods in particular, because obviously there were a few things that were pointed out, the vertical hoop net, and then forward-facing sonar, of course, became a big part of the conversation, and in reality it's probably two separate issues, and we're going to focus on the technology later. But I want to get into the study, you know, the methods and what you use, particularly that net. Let's just talk about what the goals were of that research. What were you trying to find out?
Yeah, so I think there's a little bit of a misconception that we were trying to demonstrate that real-world fishing scenarios are bad for fish at certain depths. But in reality, it's really very difficult to replicate real-world fishing conditions and still be able to recover those fish sometime later. We know that a lot of mortality might not occur instantly and that fish might be dying over a 24 or 48 hour period. So in able to evaluate that, we need to be able to have some way of recovering these fish. And net pens are a common way that's been done in previous studies. So that's the method that we chose to work. But we talked about this with the understanding that it's a confounding factor that in and of itself could contribute to higher mortality. So the numbers that we came up with were never really meant to, be literally interpreted that if I'm out angling and I'm immediately releasing fish, that I'm going to see the exact same mortality that the DNR saw in their study. But what it does demonstrate, and probably a better talking point, is that the physical damage caused by that barotrauma became much more evident at greater depths. And that was consistent with other studies that we've seen, primarily from open water systems or studies that were conducted during open water times of year, I should say, where it seems like we don't see a lot of barotrauma issues at depths shallower than about 25 feet. But once we get beyond 30 feet, those effects are much more evident.
I think one thing that I've been trying to glean from any sort of research and data that I've seen out there is what that magic number is and what affects that magic number. You know, how much a depth may be, you know, where it may be evident that at this depth on this particular body of water, this is where barotraumatic effects take place. Maybe it's different on this lake. Is it different on that lake? Is it different by size of fish? I want you to answer some of those questions. We've got to take a quick break, but we will come back, and then we'll bring Jeff Sundin on in the conversation as well. Dave Weitzel with us on Sporting Journal Radio. More on the way.
Come ice fish the famous waters of Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, the walleye capital of the world. Experience full-service resorts featuring heated fish houses, ice transportation, meal plans, and sleeper house options. From the northwest angle to the south shore, Rainy River and Baudette, the Midwest's number one ice fishing destination. Walleye, sauger, perch, and northern pike, Minnesota's Lake of the Woods, best fishing anywhere. For more information, log on to lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Don't miss the 2024 Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, presented by select Heartland Chevy dealers at Canterbury Park in Shakopee, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. This year's Classic features top hunting celebrities like Pat Nicole Reeve of Driven TV, Melissa Bachman of Winchester Deadly Passion TV, and legendary bow hunter Barry Wenzel. Get your antlers scored, view more than 300 antler entries, and see the latest hunting products, plus a great lineup of lodges and outfitters. Learn more about the Minnesota Deer and Turkey Classic, March 8th, 9th, and 10th at Canterbury Park in Shakopee at mndeerclassic.com.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today.
852 million acres of public land, 147 million private properties,
all in the palm of your hand.
OnX Hunt,
the number one hunting GPS app, just got better. With hundreds of custom map layers, 3D and topographic maps, you can easily scout on the road or at home before you go. And now you can get important weather details, CWD detection, and even know what crops have been planted where. Get the most trusted hunting GPS app ever made. OnX. Know where you stand with OnX Hunt.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
See dependable, made in the USA appliances at Akron Appliance and TV, downtown Medford. Appliances by KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, and Amana in stock. Whether it's just one piece or an entire kitchen suite or new laundry, they have something for every budget. Remodeling or building soon? Now is the perfect time to lay away a new appliance package, and they can hold it until your project is ready. Interest-free financing is always available on your new appliance package, and always service after the sale at Akron Appliance and TV, downtown Medford.
We've got Pete with us from Wheelway in Fifield. Pete, we've got some special incentives for folks if they want to get a little work done on their car. You guys got a little incentive for them to do that, right?
Hey, you know what? The holidays are over, but we're still giving discounts down at Wheelway. There's many discounts off brakes, tires, alignments, whatever the issue with your car. You want to make sure it's roadworthy and you can trust it during this wintertime.
All right. And if their service, if their work's over $100, you got a little extra discount for them too, right?
Yeah, you know what? 15% goes a long ways.
Yeah, it goes a long ways, whether it's an oil change, alignment, or from all the slipping and sliding they did from the recent snow we had. Maybe they need some new tires. You guys go set them up for you, right?
You finally find out right now. You didn't find out a couple months ago, yeah. But yes, there's many discounts off tires right now. Don't hesitate.
Find out real quick. They can always call down the Wheelway in Fifield. How can they reach you guys down there, Pete?
Hey, give us a call. They're ready for your call at 715-762-2467. The number again is 715-762-2467.
They'll take care of you. Wheelway, Fifield, Wisconsin, just a couple miles south of Park Falls, right on Highway 13.
Want to start saving money today? Well, you're in luck. The 98Q Country Shopping Show is always available online at 98QCountry.com. There you can find local businesses such as nice restaurants or fun shops. Located in Phillips, Prentice, Park Falls, Minocqua, Mellon, and many other locations in the surrounding areas. Save money with 98Q Country today.
Fleet Farm has everything you need for happy backyard birds. And we mean everything. Like over 100 different types of wild bird foods and bird feeders. This week, get a 25-pound bag of black oil sunflower wild bird food for just $13.99. Plus, join us Saturday, January 13th at 9 a.m. to build and decorate a free birdhouse with your kids. Create family memories and find what you need for everyday life at Fleet Farm.
Imagine having all the money you need for retirement, all the income, every month, guaranteed. That's Secure Future Investor. Secure Future utilizes an indexed annuity tied to growth in the U.S. stock market, but without any risk of loss ever. That's right. No matter what happens in the market, your investment can never decline. Down years, you're insured against any losses. Boom years, your retirement account grows exponentially to increase your worth. Whether the market is up or down, Secure Future Investor can set you up with guaranteed money for life income. It's the difference between thinking you have enough money to retire and knowing you're getting that retirement check every single month for the rest of your life, no matter how long you live. Over 40 years old? Call now. 888-509-2228. 888-509-2228. Sponsored by GP Agency, Inc., Raleigh, North Carolina. Licensed in all states. Performance may vary. Consult with your financial professional before making an investment decision.
Hey, hey, hey. Grab your partner and stop by Jack's Corner Bar in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Now open Mondays for Mexican night, Thursday burger and fries, Friday fish fry with salad bar, and Saturdays look forward to pork and dumplings for lunch, and Saturday night get set for a tasty prime rib with salad bar. along with daily deep fried chicken special, great for your palate and easy on your wallet at Jazz Corner Bar, located on Cedar Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin, where strangers become friends and good times roll.
Park Falls BP, the one stop for everything you need, from fuel, wine, spirits, beverages, car washes, ice, snacks, and more. Everyday low prices at a great value. Park Falls BP. Next to McDonald's.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Snow and wind for your Saturday. Gusts to 30 miles per hour out of the north. Temperatures falling throughout the day. For tonight, some light snow, a low of 4 below. And wind chills about 20 below. For Sunday, mostly cloudy and cold with highs in the single digits. Still breezy.
Right now, it's 16.
Discover the charm of Park Falls at Decor to Adore. Unveil your love for this picturesque town with our unique apparel, bespoke shirts, and hoodies. We're your haven for unique gifts, from captivating books to a delightful collection of kids' toys. Don't miss MSC Creations, an extension embodying family values, located within Decor to Adore. Let Missy, Stormy, and Callie bring your ideas to life through handcrafted treasures made especially for you. Indulge in some scrumptious ice cream while you browse at Decor to Adore, located on Division Street in Park Falls, Wisconsin. Visit us today for a sweet experience.
Blinds.com has taken customer service to the next level. For example, need expert design advice about designer blinds, shades, shutters, or drapes? Call or email anytime. It's free. Want to chat live with a decorator? Again, free. Need to show a design expert the actual windows you're covering using your smartphone or tablet? That's free, too. And as always, get free color samples, free shipping, and no sales tax in most states at Blinds.com, where prices crush home improvement store prices. Blinds.com.
This is Sporting Journal Radio, presented by OnX. Know where you stand with OnX.
We're back. This is Sporting Journal Radio. I'm Brett Amundson. We're talking about barotrauma and some recent research being done by the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, and the subsequent video from Angling Buzz, and then the subsequent interview and video from Aaron Weeb, and then now we have the DNR discussing it with us right now. We touched on some of the study methods before the break, and then I think we started to talk about what depth you might start to see barotrauma affect fish, and you brought up that 30-foot number a few times. How consistent do you think that depth range is, and do you think water temperature, size of fish, type of fish, body of water, how many other factors do you think affect that, or do you think it's pretty common no matter where you go?
Well, I think from the standpoint of barotrauma in and of itself, keep in mind it's the weight of the water that's above the fish that's being reduced as the fish is brought from a deep depth to a shallow depth. And it's the change in pressure that allows those gases to expand. So that's really consistent regardless of temperature or other conditions. Now, with that being said, mortality on fish is affected by a ton of different variables. So if we were talking about real-world fishing scenarios, it's really hard to say that mortality rate is going to be the same from one outing to the next, because everything from handling time to, you know, certainly water temperature, where the fish was hooked, you know, all of those things have a huge bearing on the overall health of that fish when it's returned to the water. But the barotrauma itself, you know, the amount of pressure change that's occurring, that's fairly consistent. So the studies that I've seen suggest that around 30 feet, we start to see those physical impacts increasing.
Is there any research out there that shows some safe handling measures, getting the fish back in the water, that may reduce mortality? I mean, obviously, fish stressors are going to affect mortality, and keeping the fish out of the water longer obviously is going to have an impact. I mean, is there any research that shows that there's variables that barotrauma, if you catch 10 fish out of 30 feet of water, are they all going to be affected the same? Or how can we determine, you know, is there anything out there trying to tell us what's changing the effect on different fish? Does that make sense? Am I making sense with that?
Yeah, and I know there's been some studies from, like, you know, primarily marine settings that have tried different descending devices. There's been some studies that have looked at fizzing. You know, and in some of those cases, there have been methods that seem to really help. But not a lot of it's been done in fresh water, so I think it's a little too soon to reach any conclusions with that because the physiology of our fish are a little bit different than some of these marine fish, so it's probably a little too early to tell.
I've seen a couple of research studies come out that talk about venting or fizzing. I've heard some podcasts lately. I saw some people are selling fizz kits. I think they were more or less talking about bass, but I've always kind of been in the impression that fizzing can't really be healthy for any fish species. I mean, putting a hole in a swim bladder sure seems to be counterproductive to the, I mean, maybe it gives them a chance, gets them back down to the bottom, and that's, you know, a last resort type measure, such as a descending device as well. But I mean, I guess if it were me and it was down to a descending device or a fizz, I'm going to use the device 100% of the time. But is there any positive data out there that fizzing or venting can be beneficial?
Not that I'm aware of from the kind of fish that we'd have here in Minnesota. And we did try fizzing on kind of a small subset of the crappie last year. And what we found is those fish swam down to depth, you know, more or less immediately. But unfortunately, because the swim bladder was ruptured after 24 hours, all of those fish were dead. So in the case of crappie, at least, it seemed like the physical damage to the swim bladder was such that it was contributing to mortality.
Okay, yeah. I just feel like you're putting a hole in a pretty vital part of a fish's body that, you know, when it comes to buoyancy and being able to swim up and down a water column, it's pretty important part of their body that you're damaging. Yeah,
it's extremely fragile. If I don't know if you've ever maybe filleted a fish that was caught in deep water and been able to observe the swim bladder when it's expanded.
Oh yeah.
But it's, you know, it's paper thin, maybe the thickness of like a plastic grocery bag. So it's very easy for that to become damaged. And once it's damaged, it's probably hard for the fish to recover from that.
All right. I want to get back to the study here in a second and then also talk about the panfish work that you've been a part of. But I want to get Jeff on. Jeff's been waiting patiently to come on the show. Jeff Sundin, I appreciate you coming on. You've been fishing for a long time. So from an angler and a guide perspective, what are your thoughts on barotrauma?
Well, I run parallel to a lot of the things that Dave was just saying. There's a couple of little details that I came into this maybe 10 or 12 years, started writing about my website when I ran into Bob Masick one time down at the Minneapolis Sports Show. We were just having a casual chat, and I mentioned something about catching northerns in deep water. And he looked at me, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't go down there. Don't fish for those deep fish. You're going to kill them all. They'll never recover. And so I started getting interested in barotrauma at the time, and that led me to study Rebecca Ebert's up in Saskatchewan, had done a study on it, and I found some others. I just published an article a couple of days ago that will give you links to a half a dozen studies that were done in fresh water. One of them was an ice fishing study. Another one was a study regarding deep water walleyes on rainy lakes, so on and so forth. And so those will all give you some basic understanding of what's going on out there. But the world that I live in, and when you had your interview with Aaron, the world that he lives in is the world of anecdotal information, right? The scientists want to study things and find out exactly what's going on. But a guy that's been fishing 40 years and has seen, you don't really need a study to tell you that if I hand you a hammer and say, hit that window, the window's going to break, right? We already know it, and we wouldn't need to have a study to do that. When barotrauma comes up in my boat, it's just like Dave said. There's so many variables and gray area that you can't just give somebody one answer and have it be the total answer. But what I can say is that if you want to do what's best for the fish, and this is run through, this is a common thread no matter who you talk to on the subject, if you really want to do what's best for the fish, just avoid fishing for them in deep water and you'll be okay, or you'll be a lot better off. The exact number, we see fish that apparently do fine when we release them in 28 or 30 feet of water, but we also